are back now for the fallout of NEF 30. Ryan Jarrell and Brian Stackpole here for the main event. This is a show that's specifically dedicated to the NEF 30 fights, which we were in attendance from the beginning right down to the very end, and it was a darn good card, Brian.
Yeah, it was a really good card. I enjoyed it. You know, got to go cage side again and get to sit there and enjoy it as just a spectator again, like the last Bangor card, which was a little enjoyable too. We love calling the fights, but again, just being able to take it all in, take some pictures and everything, and what a great environment. I love the Bangor crowd. I wish there were more events in Bangor just because they soak it up. Those fan base in Bangor, especially behind those Youngs fighters and the Titan Athletics ones, they were just going nuts every single time out there.
Yeah, tell me about it. I mean, anytime we get the chance to broadcast the event, I'll take that first and foremost over anything. But as you mentioned, this was a very nice way to kind of kick back and almost relax a little bit and watch some fights cage side. You don't really get a chance to watch too many fights cage side if you're not working like what we normally do. So this was a really interesting way to kind of watch the fights, dissect them, and not have to, you know, be on the ball working all the time, I guess.
And again, big shout out to Matt Peterson and Nick DeSalvo for giving us the opportunity to sit there and schmooze a little bit. Got to talk with Ernie Clark of the BDN, who I talk with quite a bit just by running into him at different events here in the state of Maine. But it was nice to talk a little MMA things and give him a little insight on some of the stuff that we had known, and talking to some of the other media members as well, like Travis Sinclair. Good to see him from Western Mass MMA trip up. And it's nice to also see some of these guys that don't have to travel as much. Not that Travis doesn't, because he's based out of Massachusetts, but it's nice for it to be in our backyard and have everyone else travel up to us for once.
I know, right? And we even had some famous musicians come to the ringside. That was One Republic?
One Direction?
I don't know. They were the headliners of the show in Bangor. Maybe I'm mistaken. It wasn't One Republic.
I think you were mistaken. I do know who it is, unfortunately. So it was James Arthur. I know too much about him. I've never listened to any of his songs before, but I'm going to have to check him out. It's James Arthur. He used to win. He won the United Kingdom's version of X Factor.
Oh, okay.
And he was there with his bandmates, too. And, man, they were excited.
Yeah, they were, and there was a lot of people coming up to that one guy, so he must be James Arthur.
Yeah, the one with the tattoos on his neck.
Okay,
yeah.
Right, that makes sense then.
And not to say anything bad, but when you get the tattoo on the neck, it means this music thing's going to work out, right?
that's what Marcus Davis always told me. He's like, if you get a tattoo on your face or neck, you better make sure that whatever profession it is that you're going into, you better be successful.
Hey, and it seems to be working for him if he's opening up for One Republic. And
very much so.
Unfortunately, that show got shortened. This show did not get shortened on NEF 30. Before we get into this card, though, we're breaking some ground here today, Ryan. Normally, we're in our nice palatial studio and everything. We're recording all those microphones. We actually now have an in-house studio, too, so we can do more and more stuff, which means also the availability to give you more episodes of the main event in the future, along with some of the other stuff we've been teasing. So, yeah. Hopefully the quality sounds as good as it sounds to us here, and we'll be able to provide more content from you because we don't have to go anywhere. We can just do this in the luxury of our palatial estate.
That's right. We don't have to worry about studio time or anything like that. We basically can do it whenever we want as long as we have this setup that we do right now. And there's going to be some good things coming. We can't really break some of the news that's coming here soon just yet, but just hold tight, pay attention, make sure you're listening to our shows, and there's some really exciting things on the horizon.
And the best part about it too is we might get a little co-host action too, not just yourself and myself, but my dog's running around here too, so if you hear a dog barking off the distance, that's Corbin. You can say hi to him too. He's a sort of an a-hole sometimes, but other times he's a nice guy.
Oh, he's a good dog. he's good.
So let's talk about this card a little bit, and let's start off with the one that started everything else off, and we'll hear from Angela Young here later on, but she announced, a little surprisingly so, though not unexpected, that she was going to retire after her bout, win, lose, or draw, and she faced a very difficult opponent in Jessica Borga. And another interesting wrinkle is a couple days before the fight, it got changed from a bantamweight 135 to a catchweight 140, and then even during the weigh-ins, Jessica came in a little overweight too. So just a lot of disadvantages for Angela Young, and she did lose in the first round, but no shame in ending your career in the MMA cage by way of a loss to Jessica Borga.
Right, and look, I've always said this a zillion times, there's a reason for weight classes, and Jessica Borga looked to be like the bigger fighter there, and it was apparent so once Jessica got on top. Angela just wasn't able to answer the bell. You know, she wasn't able to get up off her back, and Jessica did a really good job of keeping her on her back and scoring from the top position and eventually finishing the fight. So, you know, kudos to Jessica Borga. She's always a game opponent, and it's always nice to see her up in Maine. I'm not willing yet to say that Angela Young is done. What I saw in her eyes was someone that isn't quite ready to hang it up yet. She's not that old. And, you know, once life presents itself another opportunity for her to actually train and take another fight,
right,
I bet she'll do it. I think she's one of those people that wants to go out on a high note. I think she'll retire on a win. I don't think we've seen the last of Angela Young.
I hope not. And for Jessica, she did say, she intimated a little bit, that the Black Widow may be turning pro here soon. And I think she deserves to. 6-3 now. She's held a couple of titles down in Florida. Had a chance to win another belt up here in the NEF, but unfortunately was unable to do so after getting knocked out in her bout right before the event against Carrie Kennison. So maybe, with Carrie now moving to the professional ranks, we can finally see that maybe come to fruition at some point up here in the Northeast.
That would be exciting, because both of those ladies are closer in size, and I think that with the excitement that's behind Carrie right now in her career and how dominant she's been, and the same thing as far as Jessica goes, that would be a really interesting matchup stylistically.
Yeah.
And they kind of resemble one another, minus the tattoos. Carrie isn't quite as inked up as Jessica is, but they're both blonde, you know, and a similar frame and body type. So that could be a really interesting match.
And I know Jessica, when our last episode talking about, or two episodes ago, rather, when we had the weigh-in edition, she seemed to be really intrigued about that matchup. And I know on paper, when that was announced, I said, this could be a barn burner of a woman's bout. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. But again, maybe we will see that here in the future, coming up here later on. And we have our first inconvenience at the home studio. Corbin's deciding he wanted to get right into your prep work. But it's always good.
That's all right. Now he's just cleaning off my knee, so it's fine.
He's a big MMA fighter himself, too. He tries to take on much heavier opponents, like German Shepherds, too, as a little chihuahua. But I digress. Where do you want to go on to next on this card?
You know, I want to talk about one kid that really impressed me. He ended the fight in the first round with a triangle choke. Nate Boucher, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, at a CMBJJ. He beat Jeremiah Barkach in a 135-pound matchup. And he looked really slick on the ground. I got a chance to just congratulate him briefly afterwards. I think this is a kid that we're going to see on the rise here in the amateur ranks, and someone that you're going to have to really pay attention to, because I was really impressed with the way he was able to sink that in, and he stayed composed throughout, and that was an impressive win for me. So I just want to give him a little shout out.
Yeah, he moved to 2-0 too,
that's
so
right.
That's always good. I know amateur fights don't necessarily mean as much, but they do mean a lot to learning.
Exactly.
And if you can learn how to win at this level, that's also a very big thing. And he had to travel a little way. CMBJJ is not necessarily right next door like it would be in Lewiston, so it just shows you that he had a good mentality traveling into not necessarily a difficult environment, but he was facing a guy who was an accomplished wrestler around here. Actually, I know my friend Chris Oganowski used to wrestle against his team back
really?
In high
okay.
school, so he was talking about Jeremiah and saying he is such an accomplished wrestler, and I think we'll see more from Jeremiah here in the future too, and hopefully this is just the first foray into mixed martial arts for him too.
Yeah, I'm sure we will, and again, to just talk about Nate here for a sec,
yeah.
I had a chance to speak with him afterwards. He will be on the show
nice.
In the upcoming near future. I know we're quite busy the next couple of weeks, but I had to reach out to him, so that's someone that we're going to have on the show. We'll get a chance to talk about what excites him and why he got into MMA and what his goals are. So it's always nice to hear from someone that we haven't had on before what their ultimate goals are in the sport, what it is that they want to accomplish. So that's something I'm interested to hear.
And we're seeing some really good prospects come out too in the NEF. Devin Corson, if you remember his last fight a couple of cards ago, he is a very up-and-coming prospect from like the Dexter area up with Derek Shorey's Shatterproof
right.
Combat. So if you just get these kind of guys to get a little bit more experience, watch them blossom and watch this amateur ranks that not necessarily are completely barren, because there's still some up-and-coming fighters, but it'd be good to get some fresh blood in there in these amateur ranks as well.
Absolutely, and you know, I was pleased to see Titan Athletics well represented at NEF 32. Zachary Faulkner was able to beat David Hart and climb to 1-0. And I don't know if you got to see some of the pictures afterwards of John Lemke hugging him and the elation on Lemke's face, and it was pretty cool to see. So that was something that I wanted to mention. And although there are other Team Irish, or excuse me, Titan Athletics, it's going to happen.
It's always going to be Team Irish to you, though, right?
I mean, that's where I started originally. So you know, it holds a special place in my heart. But you know, it's Titan Athletics now. And although there are other Titan Athletics fighter was not able to win, that's Anthony LaPointe. He put up a valiant effort against Jesse Hutchinson. So, again, nice to see Titan Athletics represented. I think it's important for the sport, especially this Bangor area.
And for John Lemke, this is the perfect role for him in his post-fighting career. I know it's not over yet, but eventually it's going to come down. He's got a lot of wear on those tires, so to speak. It's just the nature of MMA. He's fought so many times. I still want to see him compete multiple times, either in New England or wherever he's going to be fighting. I still want to see him fight, but I think when he decides to hang up the gloves for the last time, he's going to transition to become a really good MMA coach and trainer if he decides to go that route.
Absolutely. He's got so much knowledge, you know, and I think this is one of the things for a guy like John, too, who's very accomplished, who's done a lot in sport, who's extremely tough, and he's a warrior. He doesn't want to hang it up, and I think that's the hardest thing is deciding when that time is. I don't think it's right now. I think he still has plenty of time left in order to compete at a high level, and I'm not at liberty to say what he's doing next, but I do know that he does have something in the works, and it'll be nice to see him fight again at some point here real soon.
How about a rematch against Bruce Boyington again?
Oh, I'd love that.
That'd be
great
down the line.
I think that's also going to hinder on what Bruce ends up doing, what happens when he has his next opponent, Nick the Snake Andrews, here shortly, win or lose. But again, either way, that would be a great matchup because that was one of the most highly controversial or debated results, if you will, for the NEF, what they've had in a long, long time. I was sitting right cage side watching that fight.
Yeah.
That could go either way. That fight was so close.
Fight of the year for 2016.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, yeah, that's a good thought there, Brian.
Before we talk about the Ewer brothers, I do want to talk about one highly anticipated bout. Josh Jones came in 2-0. The sky is the limit for that kid. He has so much athleticism, but he was matched up against a very difficult opponent who he didn't know anything about, and he really hasn't been tested. Josh is, what, logged 23, 24 seconds inside the cage in his first two bouts, including a four-second knockout, and he tried to get a two-second knockout when he threw that haymaker, that right hand, early on against Carlton Charles. But Charles, with the football background, he looked cut at the weigh-ins. Mm-hmm. He looked great. He looked like he gained a little bit of weight, but not too much more after Friday afternoon. And he just looks like a very good prospect as well. So not only does Josh Jones now have that thing to work on, he now knows what it's like to face defeat, not on the basketball court, but inside the cage. Now he can work on that one. Because, again, amateur ranks are about learning things, and I think this is perfect for him. He needs to face defeat eventually, so why not do it when it doesn't matter compared to a paycheck in the pro ranks, and also give some, you know, some hope to a guy like Carlton Charles that he could really make a go of it and could be a real big threat in this amateur division.
Well, first of all, I think both of these guys are going to be pros at some point in the near future. I think both of them have an abundance of talent. Even the short amount of time that we saw Carlton Charles in the cage, he went up against a very strong, tall, lean, long guy that has a ton of power and a ton of potential and a ton of athletic ability. And Carlton Charles proved he belonged, you know, and that was the thing. A lot of people were counting him out. I'm sure he had a chip on his shoulder going in, although he didn't really show it. He seemed pretty composed and just calm and confident and just ready to go in there and execute his game plan. And he did a great job because Josh Jones was, again, coming in, as you said, looking for blood. He wanted to knock him out right off the bat. I think this is something that's going to help Josh Jones and help calm him down for his next fight. I think he's no longer going to be in there and like, oh, I'm the 4-second knockout guy.
Right.
I'm gonna go in there and it's a mixed martial arts fight. It's three minutes in that first round. I have 3 minutes. If I want to end in the first round, great. You got plenty of time. You don't need to do it in the first 10 seconds. Take your time, pick your shots, allow the fight to come to you, and he might have a different result his next time out. Mm-hmm. I fully expect both of these guys to be. I would like them to see them fight again at some point soon. If it's not an immediate rematch, because you want to talk about the stoppage, some people were on either side of
it. Let's talk about that. Have you rewatched the fight?
Yeah, you know, and again to err on the side of caution and protect these fighters, his knees did buckle
twice,
and yes, and you know, again, he hasn't had a lot of cage time, you know what I mean? So we don't really know what he can take for damage. Now, if he was some guy that was a veteran that has proven time and time again that he can take some licks and just keep on fighting, and that's fine. But as an amateur, especially for someone that hasn't even been in that situation, you want to err on the side of caution and protect these guys. I think in the end, in the long term, Josh Jones will be appreciative of the judge stepping in, because he did get rocked. You got to give it to Carlton Charles. He hung in there. He stayed right on him like a bulldog, and he landed a clean shot that buckled his knees twice, and he deserved the win. Now, I know First Class MMA is disappointed. You know, the night that was probably the most disappointing night First Class MMA has had, maybe ever, if you really think about it. Although they only had two fighters on that card. Both of them were highly touted guys looking to keep on rising. Walt hopefully winning a belt.
Right.
And then Jones, you know, continuing to progress to maybe one day get to a belt of his own. But I think the right call was made. Charles won the fight, and you just move on. You head back to the drawing board. Look, Jones has Nick Gulley in his corner that's helping him get ready. He's going to be just fine.
Yeah, watching it live, I thought it might have been a little premature, the stoppage, keeping in fact that it is an amateur fight compared to a pro fight. But watching the replay, when the knees buckled twice, you can say perfect stoppage at that point. Preserve that young man's head. He doesn't need to take unnecessary harm to his body. And much like I thought the Lemke-Erickson fight, though, a lot of people said it was stopped way too early, especially where Erickson was going to a guard on the ground. I still aired and said, hey, Jesse's still got a lot of fights still yet to come in MMA if he wants to. Protect that fighter so he doesn't take undue harm to himself for no reason. And again, good situation. And for Carlton, he took a couple shots. Watching the replay, he took a couple stiff shots. Saw some of the photographs where you could see his face kind of moving and contorting after Josh had hit him. He took his best punch, or at least a couple punches, and was still able to move forward. So now he knows what it's like to get hit, too. It's not like he had a dominating first round, though he did win pretty quickly.
Yeah, and he also apparently won a boxing match via knockout in the first round.
Right before.
A week prior to this fight, which is something that I don't really understand why that would happen if he has this MMA debut ready to go, because he could have been knocked out just like you talk about Aaron Lacy's opponent with Brian Goldsby. It's a little head-scratching to think about.
Right. Unless they had some sort of protection. Maybe they were in the headgear. Maybe things are a little different in that regard. Mm-hmm. But still, a little eye-opening. And let's address the gorilla in the room there. Weird situation. We found out just a little bit before the fight card, like an hour or two. And we were first and foremost, so disappointed for Aaron, because if you go back into February, he was ready to fight Chris Jacobs, and that was going to be a very tough opponent for him. And then Mother Nature ruined the plans, as Jacobs had to come from Florida. It just unfortunate, his flight got canceled, couldn't get up to Maine in time to fight. Things happen. Then Aaron suffers an injury before facing his opponent in the last fight. It was Mendiola, right?
No, Mendiola was facing
Josh.
Harvey.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who he was trying to face.
It was Cotito.
Cotito. So he couldn't face Walter, which would have been a nice step up for him, too, as he's fought in Bellator. Mm-hmm. So that would have been a good little movement up for Aaron, but again, he was unable to do it. And then to have this one, where everything is perfect, his opponent Goldsby weighs in, only to find out he had gotten knocked out a week prior. And I don't want to talk ill about Brian Goldsby, because he's been nothing but great to us, but you have to know better when you sign a contract that I don't care what comes up, I don't care if you're trying to feed your family, you cannot take that boxing fight knowing that if you get knocked out, I don't care how good of a boxer you are, I don't care if you're Floyd Mayweather fighting me, if I'm fighting you and you have a possibility of getting knocked out and ruining your contracted fight, you just can't do that. And unfortunately, I'm not quite sure we will see Brian Goldsby in the future here at the NEF, just because that was a bridge that he burned at the worst possible time for one of the most anticipated fights on the card. I mean, other than the Ewer fight, that might have been the number and then the Walt and Fred Lear fight. Mm-hmm. That might have been the third biggest fight on the card, if not the biggest fight on the card.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. I mean, when I had the chance to talk to Mr. Goldsby in person at the Sea Dog, I was very impressed. He was nothing short of an absolute gentleman. And
he looked great, too.
He was carved out of stone. I mean, you know, it's really just too bad. And this is the part of our job that sucks. Like, I don't want to badmouth anybody. That's not the line of work that I like to be in. I'd rather just talk good about people. And you know, having said that it's really too bad that Brian was able to put himself in this position and allow this fight to fall through. Thank goodness Aaron still got paid.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's happened before too. Yeah. Even going back to the Jacobs fight, he did get paid, but again, he wants to elevate his career. I know Flow Combat just released their 145 rankings, mm-hmm. and there was no Aaron Lacy, of course, because 145 is absolutely loaded across the United States and in Canada right now, so it's hard to break into that one. And not saying that if Aaron had won, he would have moved up into maybe the top 20 or so, but at least there would have been a little bit more consideration for him in the next installment if he had won this one and then maybe another one in November, that he could be up in that consideration.
No, I mean, if he had beat... after he beat Trahan, if he had beat Chris Jacobs, and then he ended up and he beat Cotito, and then he would go ahead and beat Goldsby, there's no way, and heck, he'd be in the top 10, I'd imagine.
Because he would have been, 7-0 at that point?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, Aaron Lacy's got a bright future. We both know that. Anybody that knows Aaron knows that. Not worried about him. I just feel bad for him. You put your body through all that grueling training camp, and then that awful weight cut, and then you get up there. You want to perform. You want to perform in front of your friends and your family and your fans, and then you don't get a chance to in your own backyard, and that really sucks. So you can't help but feel for the guy.
Yeah, and hopefully we see him in the cage here soon. Whether again, he's under contract with the NEF. I'm not sure if Matt would allow him to go fight since he did get the weight cut. I'm sure he's probably could get down to the weight either this month or even September or something if someone had a card open up. But that young man needs a fight. He needs to get paid again. And get that win, more importantly, and get ready for a wedding. He hasn't been able to plan his wedding. His beautiful fiance's been doing the majority of that one. But still, he has a bright future ahead of him, and I can't wait to see what's in store for Aaron in his next bout. And again, fighting in Bangor would have been so good. He looked great. That was one of the fight of the year candidates, at least last time, when he beat John Santos. It was just an absolute brawl, and Dana White was so impressed that he said, keep doing what you're doing, and eventually you'll be in the UFC. So it's just another speed bump in his progression down that bright highway that is going to end in the UFC.
I'd like to think so. Nothing but the utmost respect for Aaron Lacy. Yep. So can't wait to see him compete again next. I know you feel the same way. Let's transition to a couple of the other Young's MMA standouts. The Ewer brothers. Holy smokes. So Roger Ewer, 43, he made it a point to emphasize the fact that he wasn't as old as Pete said he was. He was 42 or 43, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he went in
there. What
did
Pete say, 44?
Pete said he was like 46 or 7. Okay. Like, he gave him a few years.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Roger's like, no, I'm not that old just yet.
Rocking the Deadpool shirt.
Much
akin to like his teammate at Young's MMA, Bruce Boyington. Never get his age incorrectly because he'll always correct you.
He'll let you know.
Just about his personality, which I love about Bruce.
Yeah, and Roger, you know, this was his amateur debut. We're going to be speaking to him this weekend and have him on the show. I'm really excited to talk to him. We've already talked to his brother CJ, finally. We had him on the show after he won the title.
The Albino Rhino.
The Albino Rhino. What a heck of a name that is. And Roger, it's really interesting to see a guy who... And I'm not saying Roger individually. I'm just saying most people feel like once you reach 40, you're past your athletic prime. That you hit 40 and it's like, oh, as far as competing at a high level athletically, you're over the hill. You can't do it anymore. You know, look at all the scrutiny. Everyone's like, oh, Tom Brady's going to fall off the cliff now because he's 40 years old.
I had to bring Brady into it. I saw
it just goes to show you that things are changing nowadays.
Yep.
If you pay attention to your nutrition and you do things the right way and you train right, you don't overtrain and you have the right recovery methods, you know, you can still compete and do things later in life.
In the Tom Brady pajamas. has also helped.
Exactly. You go, Under Armour, they should be a sponsor of ours. Go to Dick's Sporting Goods and get some Under Armour, the Tom Brady, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But look, Roger Ewer, Chris Young was telling me he lost some weight. He got in better shape. He slowly progressed into wanting to train MMA. And then he went out and really kind of put on a pretty dominant performance over Dustin Freeman to win his debut fight in the second round via TKO. So really exciting. I mean, that's got to be one of the more neat things I'm sure he's ever done in his life, to compete a debut fight right at 43 years old in front of so many people in his hometown of Bangor. I mean, how awesome is that?
He got one of the loudest pops of the night, too. Because I think people understood his journey and the relationship he had with the area. And will he become a big-time MMA superstar in, like, the national ranks with Bellator or anything? Unlikely at his age, especially starting his career. But that doesn't mean he can't have some really memorable fights, be happy with himself and competing, and also maybe making a run at a heavyweight title in the amateur ranks, or even maybe going pro at some point. The one thing that was the most impressive, I think, with Roger, though, heavyweight bout, went in the second round, didn't really seem to be gassed very much at all. Yeah. His opponent in Dustin Freeman looked a little bit worse for wear, maybe a little tired, and it's expected in the heavyweight ranks, like Dada 5000 and Kimbo, RIP. Actually, both RIP. They both technically, well, Kimbo is now since passed, and then Dada's heart stopped twice. But that last round of their fight was just amazing. I think I could have knocked them both out with just a gust of wind because they were so gassed. But Roger looked really well composed. I thought he had enough in the gas tank to go three rounds if it had gone to that third.
Yeah, no, and I agree, and I think that's the training and tutelage that you get training at Young's MMA. So, again, when you're going with some of those killers that are there on a daily basis, like a Ryan Sanders, for example, you know, that's going to help push you and get you prepared to when you actually step in the cage. They say make your practices like the real thing. Make those harder, and then you step into the cage, and that's supposed to be the easy, the fun part. So very happy to see Roger get his debut win, and that's going to be cool. They can have some you know, water cooler talk with him and his little brother now, who has captured the middleweight championship in a very impressive win over Mike the Mustache Hansen, who really made some waves at the weigh-ins.
Literally some waves after he jumped
in the Penobscot River. Yeah.
Let's talk about CJ now. Both the Ewer brothers, CJ's pro record is undefeated. Now Roger is undefeated in his first fight and foray into mixed martial arts. But let's talk about the main event. We'll save Fred Lear for later on.
Freddie and Ryan, those are the last two we need to touch on.
Transition, because we're talking about the Ewers anyways. But CJ looks like... we were trying to talk about this. He looks like a cross between, and not saying this in any mean way, but he looks like GSP. Like GSP, maybe a little Marcus Davis mixed in. He just looks like a scary individual, too.
So I would say he would be kind of like the love child of GSP, Drago from Rocky, and maybe a little bit of Marcus. There's something about Marcus in the face too. Yeah. So yeah, but he's built out of stone, man. I mean, look at the guy, for crying out loud. He's all jacked up. I mean, he's a big dude, and he just has that look to him. He's like one of those guys where you just look at him and you're like, yeah, not gonna mess with that guy. You know, he doesn't even take off his shirt. You just look at his face and you're like, yeah, not gonna pass on that one.
Just soft spoken too.
Yeah, he couldn't be any nicer, more humble. Just a genuine, down-to-earth, good dude. So, very happy for him. I mean, look, and Mike Hansen was coming for blood. He was coming for that belt. He wanted it bad. And he beat Mike Hansen at his best. You can't say anything other than that, because Mike Hansen, he looked good. He told us he was 100% fresh. He one of his best training camps. Yep. He was ready to go. And CJ Ewer, all that time off, comes back, and bam, he stays undefeated. He's 3-0 now as a pro, and he's got the middleweight NEF belt to boot.
And we'll ask him later on if maybe he'll fight again here very shortly, because a year is too long to not see CJ Ewer fight. And again, with his age and what he has to do and everything, I think the more fights we can see out of him, as long as he's not taking too much damage, would be absolutely phenomenal for New England. Just to see entertaining fights, and also just to see how high he could get in this game, because he's got so much talent, and he's just such a great guy. And for Mike Hansen, he intimated it a little bit back when we talked with him at the weigh-in show that Berserkers is a great gym, but he said after he won the title, which he was unable to do, he wanted to go up to Bangor and train a little bit more with Youngs. And if he wants to fight at 185, I know he's probably not going to get a title shot if he's going to be training at Youngs against CJ if he continues to hold the belt. But why not try to stay down there, get some training with some absolute monsters up at Youngs, and see how far you could take this mixed martial arts career and maybe fight for other promotions too if he decides to go a little bit further down in New England?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And I think the mustache is one of those guys that wants to keep training. He wants to keep grinding. He posted some pictures not too long ago of his weight loss and where he came from to where he's at right now. And that was very impressive. And I couldn't be any more happy to see a guy who's changed himself as much as the mustache has. And again, you know, he's clearly extremely talented. He's got some notable wins under his belt.
Yep.
And he's still young. So, yeah, whatever he wants to do, I'm sure he's going to make the best decision for himself. But, yeah, if he decides to come up to Young's, CJ's holding the belt, who knows how long he's going to be kicking around the NEF before he decides to, you know, maybe try the Bellator ranks or something like that, because he keeps winning, and he keeps winning in impressive fashion. I'm sure he's going to get the call at some point.
One of the gnarly things that I'm a little disappointed, not that I didn't like the fight and I didn't like the outcome, I thought it was a great fight for however long it lasted, but one of the unique things about Mike Hansen is that even dating back into the early parts of his career, he has alternated wins and losses.
Yeah.
And it finally was broken. He was due for a win. You thought maybe this is the one that's going to get him the title belt and he's going to pick up and continue the streak. He finally has a two-fight losing streak, but that's going to motivate him, I think, in the future. And we'll see what he's got on tap. He's always one of the most exciting fighters, one of always the most revered and cheered for fighters. So, again, I can't wait to see him back in there. Hopefully he gets a good fight that he wants to do, if it's on the next card or whenever. I'm just excited to see him back out there, much like I am with CJ.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, let's talk about Ryan Sanders and Jay Ellis.
Let's do it.
How close did you feel like Jay Ellis was to finishing Ryan Sanders? Honestly.
Well, we talked about it before the fight, just offhand to each other. Like, what happens if Ryan does lose? Not saying that we ever even thought it was going to happen just because Ryan is an absolute monster, and deservedly so, the number one ranked lightweight in all of New England. But the crowd would have just gone deathly silent for that main event with CJ and the mustache. And it did go pretty quiet at one point.
It was very silent.
When he clipped him and then took him down. Because it wasn't that he knocked him down and buckled his knees, but he did have a nice takedown on Ryan.
He clocked Ryan. I don't think Ryan saw it coming. Like, I don't think he expected him to come out like that. And he hit him flush with an overhand right and then immediately took him down. And I think Ryan's very comfortable on the ground. We know about Ryan's jiu-jitsu. Yep. He no problem. Let's go to the ground. And I think Ryan is one of those guys that always stays so calm, so cool and collected and composed, and nothing really rattles him. He did a phenomenal job of just weathering that storm, waiting for this guy who quite frankly is all jacked up. This Jay Ellis is an impressive physical specimen, and he waited for Jay Ellis to essentially kind of punch himself out, get himself a little bit more tired, and then bam, he slapped on a submission and he got the job done. So anybody that wants to say, oh, well, that's not an impressive performance by Ryan, well, I'm going to disagree, because I think what he did was he showed the fact that he can overcome adversity. He can overcome getting knocked down by a guy that is a monster of a man, and still get the job done in the first round. Yeah. So, you know, you got to tip your hat to Ryan Sanders.
And though even with Jay Ellis's now, he told me 68 losses going into a Tapology has 70, but if it's 69 losses or 70, regardless, he is a very difficult opponent regardless of what his record says. And one of the reasons why he's sort of a gatekeeper for the upper echelon and getting these guys who fight him, they go to Bellator, they go to World Series of Fighting back in the day, now the was it Professional Fighters League, and then the UFC as well, because he's a tough litmus test for these guys who are right on that cusp of making it to the next level. So again, no shame in having a little scare, because that's sort of Jay Ellis's MO. He's going to scare you early on by dropping you, and then you just sort of have to work out of it. Sometimes it works in Jay's favor because there aren't ready for the situation because they think it's going to be an easy win. But again, JL's class act. Ryan did everything he needed to do, kept it clean in the post-fight interview. But I think we'll see JL's again. If they have some sort of a fighter whether it's a 170, 155, that wants to test themselves against a very difficult opponent, I bet you're going to see Jay Ellis again, because Matt Peterson seemed very impressed with his professionalism.
No, and I wholeheartedly agree once again. And the question that I have right now is, I'm assuming we're going to see Jay Ellis again in NEF. When are we going to see Ryan Sanders get that call up? When? That's what I want to know, because
he's called him out every time. Dana, that is.
Yeah, I think he's look. I've seen some of these guys that have been competing on Tuesday night Dana White's Contender Series. Ryan Sanders could easily be there. Why not? Why doesn't he get that shot? I hope he does.
You know what it is? All those tough fights he had early on in his career, whether it's right or not, the 8 losses probably hinder him. If he had 4 losses, he would probably be in the UFC right now. Unfortunately for him, he fought a lot of tough opponents, including Michael Venom Page. He also faced some absolute monsters competing all over New England and beyond that, too, just to try to get himself up to that next level. And he did take some L's from time to time, but he is a much different fighter. I know this is at 170, and Chris Young has said it multiple times. If he can get the weight cut down to a science, which he has before, he hasn't missed the weight, if he can just get to 155 consistently and continues to fight there, he is such a disadvantage for his opposition that I think the sky's the limit, and we will see him in the Ultimate Fighting Championship if he can get to 155 and makes that concerted effort to continue to do so, though I know he hates that weight cut.
Yeah, and I know that's the case, and I just feel like regardless of the losses that he has, he has proven to me and to a lot of other people, I'm sure, that he has made the progression necessary to get to that big show. So I hope he gets there.
Was that 5 wins in a row too for Ryan?
I believe so. Yeah. He's 15-8 right now. He's beaten Lemke twice, and this Jay Ellis fight.
And Ortolani and then Kennington. So ever since he's come back to the NEF after losing to Levon back at CES 36 here, I'm looking up, he's won all his fights in the NEF. So take that for what you will, but it's the NEF magic for Ryan Sanders, evidently.
Well, the last fight we need to talk about is Fred Lear and Walt Shea, and wow, what a fight. Fred Lear's an animal. Congrats to him on winning the belt. And Walt Shea, the heart that he showed and the toughness that he showed and able to get out of that first round, how can you not like Walt Shea? You know what I mean? Anytime you get a chance to talk to him, he's nothing but nice and kind and considerate, and he loves this sport. He's lost over 100 pounds to get to where he's at right now. You know, this means the world to him, and unfortunately at NEF 30 he ran into a buzzsaw in Fred Lear, and Fred was just all hyped up and he bouncing around like you knew he was ready to go. You could see it in his eyes before the fight started.
Fred is an absolute monster. Just to touch on Walt though, I echo those sentiments. There are so many nice guys, Fred included, in the MMA scene in Maine and New England and just in general. But Walt is definitely one that would take the shirt off his back and give it to you if you needed it. He would help you out in any way possible. The weight loss is one huge storyline there. I think it's incredible what he's done. He brought Josh Jones into first-class MMA. Yeah. That contribution to MMA alone would be enough to say, hey, give this guy some kudos, because he saw some talent, and I think he's going to evolve into a great talent as well under the tutelage of John Rayo and those other monsters down at first class. And unfortunately for Walt, this is going to be a tiny bit of a step back. He does take his first loss of his career in mixed martial arts, but it's just one tiny step back here. It was an absolutely incredible fight that he showed off some skills, and just not only that, some fortitude to continue that, where it looked like Fred could have finished him in the first round, but Walt just wouldn't have it. He just never gave up until that second round barrage. And let's talk on that here real quick. That flying front kick
to start off the second round was epic. That was epic.
That was one of the greatest things I've had the privilege to see live and in person, and I unfortunately did look down a little bit, and I just caught the tail end as his foot was contacting the upper torso of Walt Shea. But man, what athleticism from a guy at 135 that you don't even see in the UFC ranks too often, other than like Yair Rodriguez and everything.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. That just goes to show you how dazed Walt Shea still was at the beginning of that second round, because Walt had to have seen that coming. And for him not to get out of the way, I guarantee a fully functioning, coherent Walt Shea moves out of the way from that. But
I'm not quite sure, because when I initially watched it, I've watched the GIF like a couple hundred times now and been showing it to people because it's just such a sweet looking kick. It almost looked like Fred was just going to come in. He was going to come in and just maybe just get up to him and start squaring off and start throwing punches. And that almost looked like Walt was prepared so. And he was a little woozy, too, entering into that into his corner of the cage or what have you there. But I just don't think he was expecting a kick in that situation. Because, again, we don't see that very often.
Yeah, well, that's something that we'll have to ask him again because, you know, that's something that, you know, unless you're in that situation, I guess it's tough to really react.
Right.
But I've seen Walt move pretty good. And to me, it just seemed like, look, Fred had to help Walt to his stool.
What a nice guy.
First round.
We say this to him every single time. But Fred Lear is the nicest guy I think I've ever met in my life. Ever met.
Yeah,
I'm talking about across everything.
He's a phenomenal human being. And to help your opponent to his side of the cage and help him do his stool at the end of the first round, that just goes to show you how hurt Walt was. And if you're that banged up and you took that much damage, look, you're not going to be close to 100% when that second bell rings, and Fred knew it. That's why he came out like, I'm finishing this quick because this guy's hurt.
Yep.
I hurt him, and I'm going to go in and I'm going to capitalize. I'm going to be like a shark.
Werewolf.
You can tell him that. He's made it clear. He doesn't want to be called that. So
he wants to be the Learjet. Come on. If you're fighting at 135, you can't be the Learjet. King Lear, he's the king now.
Okay.
That works too if he doesn't want the werewolf tag. I think it's marketable though, and we can make a ton of money with t-shirts for Fred. I'm just going to put it out there. But Fred deserved it. I know
great
he had a couple losses earlier on in his amateur career, but the sky is the limit for him as well. And he's going to be turning pro here very, very soon. He let us in on a little bit of what he's planning on doing here in the future, but I know the pro ranks are very, very quickly approaching. It's just going to come down to the weight cut. And you'll hear from him, too. A little spoiler here. He does say he wants to fight at flyweight at 125. I love Fred, but if he's hurting that much to go from 160 down to 135, it's going to be problematic to lose another 10 pounds on it. And you know, Fred, he puts his mind to it, he can do it. But I still think 135, he is a very dangerous fighter. He might be on par with some of the other monsters that are going to be at 135 that he's going to fight as a pro eventually. But I think he could do it. But if he does get down to 125, look out, because he could just destroy people with his wrestling background and his striking prowess that he's shown off over the last couple of fights. He's developed a very good stand-up game now.
No doubt about it. And again, you need to echo back to training at Young's MMA and what they're providing. And Fred's really made leaps and bounds as far as the strides that he's made. You know, he's turned into he's a champion now. So congratulations to Fred. Congratulations to CJ. Both of them captured belts here at NEF 30. And again, all in all, it was a great night. Another star was born, Carlton Charles, with the quick knockout of Josh Jones at 23 seconds of the first round. And, you know, top to bottom, it was a very, very exciting card, even minus the Aaron Lacy, Brian Goldsby fight being next. So, anything else you want to say before we get into this, Brian? Because we've been talking for a while.
Oh, it was a great night of fights again. Thanks to Matt Peterson, Nick DeSalvo, and everyone at New England Fights for putting on the promotion and bringing it back to the city of Bangor. Hopefully they do so again soon, because the atmosphere is, again, second to none. I love the Colossae. I'm going to enjoy the Portland card as well, because I'm sure the fan bases will come out and support this promotion. But there's nothing that really compares with the city of Bangor and the two fights they've had over the last year or so. It's just been phenomenal. So looking forward to seeing what the NEF can do when they bring it back up here in Bangor again. And hopefully Aaron Lacy gets his fight again here soon and gets to fight in front of his own crowd.
Let me ask you this before we get into the interviews. What do you think about the next time, whenever they do come back to Bangor, of mentioning, maybe getting some sort of poll going on about dimming the lights? So
you're a big light dimmer. And the first event with Dana White seemed like it was a little less bright in there. bright?
It was still pretty bright. I feel like going into a cage fight, you know? Like, I just feel like there should be some sort of other alternative with the lights. I feel like that would add something to it.
Just my opinion. It seemed like you were at a convention, and there happened to be mixed martial arts there in one area, and it did seem a little bright. I'm not a huge dissenter and saying like, oh, it has to be more dingy and a fight feel, but it would have added a little bit more of an ambiance. I thought you were going to say have it in like the Cross Insurance Center proper area and see if they could really pack that facility, because I think they were probably turning some people away. I know it was another sellout in Bangor, but I mean, I would love to see a little bit bigger of a venue. I know cost-wise would be probably a little bit problematic, and you also don't want to have a ton of empty seats. And if the UFC couldn't sell out an event, it's going to be hard for any other promotion to sell out a mixed martial arts event. But all in all, great event. Can't wait to see it in Bangor again. And but we've been yammering on way too much. So let's get into the interviews. We'll talk a little bit more about NEF stuff after we get into all this great insight right after everything that was going on.
Let's do it.
The main event, of course, is brought to you by every single episode, the Sea Dog in Bangor on Front Street. Go check them out before and after the concerts on the waterfront, too. There's some good ones still left this summer. And if you do go before the concert, you get a chance to win tickets to that event. Yes, if you don't have the money to necessarily go out and enjoy the concert yourself, well, you still have an opportunity to go thanks to all our friends at the Sea Dog Brewing Company. And while you're there, make sure to check out their summer menu. They've got some great fare as well. I love the barbecue burger. It's got the onion rings on top of it. Not to mention the blueberry wheat ale, which we've talked about numerous times. It's the absolute best. It's one of my favorite beers of all time. That and some pumpkin head mixed in there too in the fall time. That just sounds like a recipe for a good night. So go down to the Sea Dog before and after the concerts. Tell them the main event sent you and really enjoy a great time. And even if there's not a concert out there, go out, enjoy it as well. They've got trivia on Thursday nights too. Sounds like a great time as well. Man Cave Mondays, all this good stuff you can go in to enjoy no matter what the day of the week. And you can enjoy yourself on the weekends as well. So go check out the Sea Dog on Front Street in Bangor, right on the Penobscot River. And again, tell them your friends that the main event sent you. And here with Angela Young, who just kicked off the show. Unfortunately for you, it was a loss, and it's the end of your career as well. But just take us through the environment here, first and foremost, of being in the Cross Insurance Center for this fight for you.
It was an honor to be here tonight. I actually missed the last event that was held in Bangor. I was out of state with a friend of mine. So to be here and to be in front of a home crowd was pretty amazing. Even though I didn't bring home the win, it was nice to be able to look out in the crowds and see so many people that I recognize. So it was an honor.
And what was it like when you heard the crowd roar, much like for your fight and for all the other local fighters, including the Youngs fighters here?
It feels like home. It feels like this is where we're supposed to be. I think Aaron said it. I think friends said it. Like, this is our house. Like, it feels like this is how it should be. And I'm so proud of all the teammates that have fought so far after me, because they've all done an amazing job.
Is there any chance that you're going to have any itch at some point down the line to maybe come back and go out on a win?
I had the itch walking out of the cage. I said, I want to do this again. Not with you, but I want to do this again. I don't think that ever goes away. Win or lose, I've always walked out of that cage seeing things a little bit more clear. There's like this weird clarity that happens the minute that I walk out of those cage doors, and I don't think that ever changes. I think you can fight 300 times, and you're always going to have that burning desire to get in there again. My priorities have changed a little bit more over the years, and I'm very grateful for NEF for giving me the opportunity to be able to get in there. But right now, for me, I have some family priorities that I'd really like to take care of. So I would like to compete. I'd like to maybe get into jiu-jitsu a little bit more and compete in grappling tournaments, but I think MMA is a closed door.
I know the fight is still fresh, but looking back on it right now, is there something that you feel like you could have done a little bit differently to get out of that first round, maybe get to a second round and utilize your game plan?
You know, I really want to say yes. I felt really good, actually, striking and on my feet. I felt like I was going to be a little bit more loose and have a little bit better movement than I have had in the past. I felt really good, and then she just caught me with a trip, and I felt stuck. I literally felt like I could not move. I was telling a friend of mine, I felt like we were in two totally different weight classes. I just felt like there was a lot of weight, and I physically couldn't, I wasn't getting hurt. I just felt like I could not get out of that one position that I had to in order to kind of make it to a second round. So I just felt stuck.
Is that one of the things you might regret of taking it as a catchweight 140 and then she came in a little overweight as well?
I do. You know, we got a phone call the night before weigh-in saying, you know, Jessica's definitely not going to make 135. Is there any way that you'd be willing to do 140? And I didn't want to. I fought at 140 before. I'm 5'4". And even though I'm not a petite girl, I didn't really want to go back to the weight class, but I also didn't want to give up this fight. And then at weigh-in day, she weighed in like 2.8 pounds over what we had agreed on. And again, it came down to taking the fight or not taking the fight. And I'm not going to not take a fight. So if she was 10 pounds over, I still would have taken the fight. You know, I wouldn't give that up. So I don't regret it, but that is not the weight that I feel comfortable at. It's just not.
Did I see you're already enjoying a little beer too? I saw someone bring one over to you.
I've had two people buy me a beer. So I said, what do I get if I win? So yeah, a little bit.
Well, it's definitely well-deserved, and although you didn't get the W, it's always a pleasure to see you compete inside the cage, and hopefully, maybe, if there is a chance down the line, I know Brian and I would, just like everyone else here, would love to see you in there again.
Yeah. I have some, there's some up-and-coming females out of our gym that are really putting in so much work, and if they stay on that track, I think we will see them in the cage within the next year, so I look forward to being a huge part of their journey. So I will definitely be in this crowd, on the sidelines, in a corner in the next year. I just won't be in the cage.
Any people you'd like to thank here before we go?
First and foremost, my head coach and also husband. He gets not enough praises. I know a lot of people say his name, but he literally just bends and bends and bends for the team. Also myself, but he's a very selfless man, and I want to thank him above everybody else, and then friends, family, and this amazing team that we have.
Well, it was an honor to be able to call one of your fights and to also have you on multiple times on the show. And this will not be the last time by any means.
Definitely not.
Thank you very much.
Here with the pretty boy, Bruce Boyington, who's going to be competing here next week. And Bruce, how's everything feeling here?
Things are going good, man. Right on track, leading into fight week. As I said earlier, it's a little different in the sense that I'm not really worried too much about what I'm eating or as pounding the water and everything because my weight's fine right where it is. But aside from that, you know, I've been training as much as I can and trying to focus on this fight, so we're good.
How excited are you to be fighting for the CES promotion, national television once again, in a different promotion too, but one that has pretty good reach?
Yeah, I mean, they've mentioned it, but it's been a long time coming. I've been in talks with them for a long time, but always trying to stay loyal with NEF, as they kind of brought me up as a fighter and my home state. But CES, it was the right time to make a fight, and we actually talked about this fight card here in Bangor too, and I had to make a decision between the two. So it was a little bit more money and a bigger name opponent. So
how is your relationship with the NEF? I know it was tenuous at times last year. This time, is it much better now?
Yeah, no, we hash things out, and you know, that's how things are with me, as you guys know, on and off. There were just some miscommunications and whatnot, and you know, once we talked, everything was cool, and Matt and Nick have been real supportive of me, and I'll never forget just how I got where I am. So they had a lot to do with that.
Let's talk about your opponent, Nate the Snake Andrews. He's undefeated. All of his wins are by first round, submission or knockout. What is your assessment of his game, and do you think that this is one of the more difficult tasks that you've had in your career?
I think I've had a lot of difficult tasks. So, I mean, it's hard to put one above the other. But, you know, as far as Nate goes, I'm not looking through him. I think he's a tough task. But with that said, I mean, he's had a couple good wins, but I don't think a lot of them were big name guys, and the pressure wasn't on him. I think he knows he's in for a pretty big fight this time, and I'm anxious to see where things match up with him. I don't ever want to, you know, say I'm going to definitely win or definitely knock him out. But I think I'm going to be ahead of him a lot with the striking. And I think a lot of people don't realize that until I'm standing across from him. And then they're like, oh, wait a second, he's going to beat me to that. You know, and then that's when the game plans go out the window and they try to take me down, hold me down. And that's where the challenge will probably be.
With so many of your teammates fighting on tonight's card, it's almost like this is a perfect training camp for you to line up for you fighting next week now. How much has it helped you with all of your teammates that you've been able to prepare with for this fight?
leading into this fight, and basically I like my last four or five fights have all been like that. My fight's been either a week or a couple weeks after theirs, and really it's been kind of not really convenient in that sense, especially this week. It's the important week for me. Like when I'm getting ready to go real hard and give it my last effort, they're all kind of done. So that's been a struggle. But, you know, for me, I'm just like, hey, man, I get my training somewhere. I've been doing it long enough to know what to do and how to do it. So I feel fresh, you know, and I'm excited. Gets me motivated on the mental side to see these guys going in there doing it tonight and then getting my opportunity next week.
Who impressed you tonight out of your teammates?
I thought they all looked good. You know, I didn't think, you know, Fred looked good, but he didn't really have a big challenge ahead of him. So CJ, ultimately, you know, he was very impressive because Mike Hansen comes to fight and CJ found a technical hole and he submitted a guy that's very hard to submit. So that was impressive. Ryan weathered a storm and that guy came out pretty hard. You know, and Ryan goes after these guys, whether they're bigger or smaller, it don't matter. He finds a way to finish them. So, you know, Ryan's always a tough dude, and I think he needs to get a shot here pretty soon.
That's what I was just going to ask. He really should get a shot. He's right there on the cusp. Do you think something like the Dana White series, Tuesday night, looking for a fight, he could kind of step in there and shine and finally get his long-awaited contract?
I think that contender series is made for Ryan, and they're running out of guys anyway. It's a perfect opportunity for him. I think they got to make that happen. And, you know, look, man, I've been training with Ryan straight up for years now, and him and I have been, like, main partners. He is a tough dude. There's no denying that guy's tough, and he should be up there at the next level doing these kind of fights. So, yeah, I think he's going to get a shot, man. If it ain't after this one, you know, maybe he beats one more tough guy, and I think they're going to give him that shot. But it's tough with the management side of things. That's where the odds stack up against us up here in Maine. So when we get through to Dana or the right guys, I think he'll get a shot.
Now, I know you can't predict the future, but if you do get past Nate and you get that win, what would you like to have next for you?
Yeah. Well, actually, CES, when they told me about the fight, they actually put it in there that it was a title eliminator. So if I want to fight for the title with CES after, I can. With that said, you know, as old as I am and as banged up as I am, I still have three fights with Professional Fight League. So at the start of January, I'm supposed to be kicking that off. They're guaranteed three fights a year. So I'm not sure I want to try to bang myself up too much after this fight. And I want to, you know, I want to seize that opportunity. The big leagues are where I always wanted to be, and I'm there. I want to make the best of it.
Another trip to Russia maybe in your future too?
I've been talking to Russia all this week, man, and you know, I had to pass up a fight in England because of this fight with CES, so because I only get one fight out of my contract. So, yeah, I would love to do the international fighting, whether it's England or Russia or Greece. I've talked to a few of them. I'd love to do that, so I won't turn it down if I get the opportunity.
And, you know, finally for me, I got to get your thoughts as someone who has done both MMA and boxing. We got Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather coming up soon. Give us a little prediction.
Man, I seriously feel like people are going to be surprised by what Conor does in there. I really do, and that's just solely based off my surprises from my experience. I think people put too much of a thick line between boxing and MMA. When you got these two top caliber guys, right? So you're not talking about like a guy in MMA that's mediocre. I mean, he's the best at that. So he knows how to punch, man. And I think it's going to be really, really exciting to see. Not the boring fight like the Pacquiao Mayweather. It won't be like that.
And you're a guy who just got out of the boxing ring as well. How was that experience for you?
I was, I don't say worried. I wasn't worried. Boxing for an MMA fight is very easy to go into mentally. I just figured this guy's way out of my class. You know, he's a top-notch boxer. I didn't cut a pound of weight on that, and I didn't really get much training either because I had an injured shoulder. So I was going in like, man, I'm not really ready for this. When I got in there, I felt really good and really comfortable. So I figure if a guy like McGregor's got millions of dollars to put on a training camp and he's at his healthy level, it's going to be exciting to see.
Bruce Pretty Boy Boyington, even though he's got a black eye, he still looks pretty. Thanks again for the time here, and best of luck.
All right, man. Thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure to have you guys. Your insight on MMA and the combat sports is always exciting to talk with.
Hey, this is Brian Stackpole here from the Main Event, just letting you know once again to follow us on iTunes. Go hit the subscribe button, and also leave a rating and review, because you know what that does? Not only does it help us provide you great content, but it also helps us finally tune this product that you love, or maybe you don't love it, but if you don't love it, why are you listening to it? But we appreciate it anyways. But if you leave a review, it helps us. We go and check them out all the time to make sure we're giving you the best possible content out there from the mixed martial arts world and boxing. Sometimes a pro wrestling interview or two is thrown in the mix as well. So go check it out. And again, that way, if you're on iTunes, if you got an iPhone, and who doesn't nowadays, or if you have an iPad, you just hit the subscribe button, and then, in case you don't know about an episode that we've released, maybe we have a surprise one for you. It's going to be downloaded right to you at that given moment, and you can take us with you anywhere in the world that you have internet access to. So go to iTunes, search in the Main Event, M-A-I-N-E, event, and get the best mixed martial arts talk around this area in the state of Maine and across the globe. And again, thank you for helping us help you here at the Main Event. Relentless Aaron Lacy, who did not get to compete today, unfortunately, just an issue there with the Boxing Commission, the Athletic Commission here in the state of Maine. Your opponent had gotten knocked out a week prior. He now has to wait 60 days, unfortunately unable to compete. Just your thoughts on hearing that news today.
It was heartbreaking, man. You know, I can't lie. I put in all this work, all this effort. I made weight. I saw the guy yesterday. You know, and then, you know, I think I'm finally over my hump that I've been in, or my slump, rather, I should say, my slump that I've been in so far this year. I think I'm over it. And then literally last minute, you know, it's like you get 99% loaded and then Internet Explorer crashes out on you. That's kind of what it felt like, you know, so it's just, it's not fun, but all I can do is keep moving forward.
Have you talked with Matt? I know you have a contract with the NEF, but is there a possibility you could be able to fight maybe before the next card?
I can't really say anything because I haven't really talked to Matt about it yet. I was in here to just support my team and get that, you know, get the night out of the way. Not to sound unappreciative of everything that my teammates have done. You know, they did a fantastic job tonight. They came in, they represented, you know, all of them, win or lose, fought their heart out. And, you know, some things might have been stopped a little early, but it is what it is. But yeah, you know, it's not fun to have to sit here and take the night off when I was really looking forward to representing in front of my hometown.
How worried were you in that first round for your teammate Ryan Sanders? He took a shot right off the bat and spent the most of the first round on his back and defending submissions. Did you feel confident that he was eventually going to get up and get on his feet, or maybe reverse that and get a submission himself, which is ultimately what he did?
Yeah, that's kind of that guy's MO. You know, he comes out super aggressive, and if he can't finish you in the first 3 minutes, it's kind of hard for him from there on out. I'm not saying it's a done deal after that, but he came in, did a friggin' somersault front split whatever into the cage. I knew he was going to be coming right out at Ryan. I tried to yell it to him. He didn't hear me, so, you know, he got caught a little off guard with that right hand, but, you know, I just kept yelling, weather the storm. Sure enough, he did. Popped out that triangle. And, you know, Ryan's been hit by legitimate 170-pound welterweight fighters in New England. He's been thrown in there with the best of the best. You know, he said it right. Dana took the wrong guy last year, and, you know, Ryan's here. Come get him, you know.
Any chance we'll see you doing one of those flying kicks like Fred did?
Ah, that was amazing. Fred did a fantastic job. You know, I was surprised that that fight actually didn't get stopped between rounds. I mean, if you have to take your opponent and bring him over to the stool because he doesn't know where he's at, he's stumbling to the wrong corner, maybe that's something that should be looked at, you know? Walt's not hurt. I got to talk to him after. He's a little banged up. I mean, it's fighting's fighting, but he's got nothing serious, so I'm glad to hear that. He's a fierce competitor, and he came in and, you know, did what he had to do, but that's not quite my style. I like kicking people in the leg, chopping them down, you know, just like a tree. Boom, 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 right in the leg, and just doing my style. I let my fighting do the talking, you know? And that's what I'm here to do, is just fight somebody.
All we've seen out of your teammate CJ Ewer is him win, and now he just won the NEF middleweight championship. How good can he be?
CJ can be as good as he wants to be. He, you know, he puts in the effort. He's, you know, a military man. He loves his family. He's got great 4 awesome daughters. You know, I cut weight in his hot tub, you know, so he let me cut weight in his hot tub, and his daughters were there talking to me the whole time. CJ could be as good as he wants to be. I mean, he's getting a little older. You know, he's got some nagging injuries. He's been a lifelong wrestler. You know, he doesn't like fighting at middleweight. He took it solely because it was a great fight and a title shot. You know, he says it feels like too much weight for his body. You know, not trying to leak too much information, but, you know, CJ can be as good as he wants to be, man.
Well, we're a little disappointed we didn't get to see a fight here, but we will see you eventually in the cage here at the NEF or somewhere else, and we're looking forward to it.
No, I'm looking forward to getting back in there. You know, I'm going to sit down with my coaches and Matt and just we'll figure something out. I'm not going to let this bother me. It's just another bump in the road, but you can't stop my dreams, and I'm relentless, right? I'm not here to be stopped, guys.
We are here with the new NEF middleweight champion, CJ Uhr, after dispatching of Mike the Mustache Hansen early in the first round. Congratulations, champ.
Thank you, sir.
What was the game plan heading into this fight? The Mustache, he's been around for a while. He's a pretty tricky competitor. What did you feel your best course of action was to really get this W, which you clearly did?
Well, I watched all of his videos. He has 10 professional fights, and none of them have gone out of the first round. Every single fight, he just comes out, and he either wins or loses in the first round. So I knew if I could get past that initial barrage, past the first 3 minutes, that it was going to be my fight from there on out. And that's kind of what happened. I got past the first 2 minutes, and I just knew. I just had a feeling once we hit the mat that it was going to be mine.
Now, it's been a while since we've seen you in the cage. I believe the last time was when you knocked out Ruben Redman right here in Bangor a year to the day. How exciting was it to compete again here in Bangor in front of all your friends and family and for your Young's MMA teammates?
Fighting in Bangor is amazing for me. I live 5 minutes away. Every single person I know came here tonight. Every single coworker, every single relative, everybody was here. So for me to lose fighting anybody in Bangor, they're going to have to kill me.
I know your brother, he's your big brother and everything, but were you more nervous getting ready to watch him fight, or were you more nervous getting ready to step in for this championship title?
They wouldn't let me come out and watch him fight because my hands were already wrapped, so I had to stay in the back. But my wife FaceTimed the fight from the locker room, so I still got to see it, and I got to see most of it. And I was yelling at the screen because I was trying to kind of coach him along, but I thought it was amazing for him. I know those first fight jitters are horrible, and he got that out of the way, and you'll probably see a whole new person next time around.
I have to ask, the shirts are phenomenal, but the Albino Rhino, when did that nickname come about, and what are your thoughts on it?
I love it. My boxing coach about a year ago said that I have no head movement and I come straight forward like an albino rhino, and that clicked perfectly, and I loved it, and it stuck with me.
When can we expect to see you? I know you have military obligations and whatnot, but can we expect you to see you fight more than just once a year?
Yes, I just talked to Matt about trying to get on the November card, but it's up to Matt and my wife.
And what about the wife? Is the wife going to give the okay or not? She's seemingly, I don't know, she looks unclear.
She'll give me the thumbs up. Okay. I'll have to pay for it, but she'll do it.
Now, this fight was at 185. You've also fought at welterweight. Is the weight cut now just something that you don't want to do, getting down to 170, or are we going to see you at 185 from now on?
I mentioned to Matt about fighting at 170 again. I know the 170 title is open, so I actually just inquired about that, and he said that we'd talk. What happened was when I went overseas, I just started lifting like crazy, and I literally came back weighing 200 pounds, so I knew that I wasn't going to get to 155 anytime soon. But yeah, at 185 worked out quite well.
Pulling off the Conor McGregor, you could be the double champ?
I would love that, but that's going to be completely up to Mr. Peterson.
Beautiful. CJ, we appreciate you coming on the show for the first time. Congratulations on the win. Another championship belt coming back to the championship factory at Young's MMA. Congratulations, and we wish you the best of luck moving forward.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
The main event, of course, is brought to you by every single episode, the Sea Dog in Bangor on Front Street. Go check them out before and after the concerts on the waterfront, too. There's some good ones still left this summer. And if you do go before the concert, you get a chance to win tickets to that event. Yes, if you don't have the money to necessarily go out and enjoy the concert yourself, well, you still have an opportunity to go thanks to all our friends at the Sea Dog Brewing Company. And while you're there, make sure to check out their summer menu. They've got some great fare as well. I love the barbecue burger. It's got the onion rings on top of it. Not to mention the blueberry wheat ale, which we've talked about numerous times. It's the absolute best. It's one of my favorite beers of all time. That and some pumpkin head mixed in there too in the fall time. That just sounds like a recipe for a good night. So go down to the Sea Dog before and after the concerts. Tell them the main event sent you and really enjoy a great time. And even if there's not a concert out there, go out, enjoy it as well. They've got trivia on Thursday nights too. Sounds like a great time as well. Man Cave Mondays. All this good stuff you can go in to enjoy no matter what the day of the week. And you can enjoy yourself on the weekends as well. So go check out the Sea Dog on Front Street in Bangor, right on the Penobscot River. And again, tell them your friends that the main event sent you. All right, we are here with an absolute warrior. A loss today against Fred Lear, but what a performance. Just the heart you showed was incredibly impressive. Walt Shea is here with us. Walt, just go through that fight and what happened in there from your perspective.
It was a tough fight. I mean, Fred put out what I expected. He came out strong and hard, and he almost stopped coming at me. He probably had stronger kicks than I expected, and the grappling game, we kind of caught up. We were kind of even there, but the kicks really surprised me. He had some snappy, straight kicks at me. Then near the end of the first round, he caught me with a good overhand that just opened up my eye, and from there it was a tough fight after that.
Were you surprised by anything that Fred did? His pressure seemed to be kind of the difference. He was always after you. Was that something that was difficult for you to handle, or did you feel like if you got the fight back up to your feet that you'd be able to maybe tee off on him a little bit and get some punches in?
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty much what I expected. I was trying to take my angles and move angularly around him and try to break from the pressure as he was coming at me. But Fred's real good at keeping on his game and keeping at you.
You were talking about your future here, and I think you have such a bright future, but you said maybe potentially 125 here. Is that something that might be in the cards at an amateur rank?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, my cuts have been getting a lot better since I cut down. Like I said before, I was a bigger guy when I started this sport, and as I've done more weight cuts, my body keeps getting tighter, and I've been finding the weight cuts easier and easier. The last camp, I accidentally cut to 130 by mistake because the YMCA I was at, the scale was screwed up. This time I got down there just because it was easy for me. So I'm thinking maybe a 130-pound catch next and work my way down to 125.
I would say one thing. Walt Shea would be the scariest 125er I've ever seen.
Yeah. Is there any 125ers in the NEF that come to mind that maybe you'd like to fight?
I'm not even really sure. I mean, there are so few 125ers out there, though. That's the real problem. 125 would really be the work towards my next step, maybe get a few points at 125 and try to work towards a pro career at 125.
Would you like to take down Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson one day, maybe?
I don't know about that. I'm a little old to be getting that far, but maybe Bellator or something eventually.
Well, Walt, again, we were so impressed with your performance. We wish you the best of luck, and we'll actually be seeing you here shortly. We're going to go down to Topsom and interview you and all your teammates. So, again, heart of a warrior, congratulations on a great fight, and we look forward to seeing what you have next in the cage.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
We are here with the new NEF Bantamweight champion, Fred Lear, out of Young's MMA, who put on a masterful performance over Walt Shea here at the Cross Insurance Center tonight. Fred, how are you feeling? Is this one of the best nights of your life?
Not yet, but it's definitely a great event. It was a great performance. I'm happy to have obtained the result we were all training hard for, and I'm just happy that I made weight and didn't make my team look bad.
Was there anything that you were expecting Walt to do in this fight? And what was your game plan heading in? Did you feel like you had a significant advantage over him in a certain discipline?
Yeah, Ryan, that's a great question. I listened to your podcast earlier, and I know Coach didn't let you guys in on much, but a good question. The plan for Walt is, I watched the film on him, and I did the breakdown, and first thing that I noticed right off the bat is that this kid has an iron will. He is tough as nails. He is not going to go away, and I knew that with that iron will, we were going to have to put together a game plan geared toward finishing this kid because he was not going to leave me alone. Essentially, we just tried to be patient, be calm, take our shots when they were there, and explode when the opening presented itself. That's kind of been my game plan for most of my fights. Be calm, be composed, take what the defense gives you. And that's what we tried to go out there and do tonight.
Were you surprised that he was able to last past that first round? Because you had a nice onslaught there late.
I honestly was not even trying to worry about time. I was trying to listen to my coaches. This is the first time in a long time I had a very hard time hearing the corner. And they're really good about yelling short time. I didn't hear any of that tonight. I would have tried something different maybe at the end of the first, but we did our job.
Let's talk about the second, because it was pretty quick into the second. That flying kick, where did that come from? Had you been training that one, or just did it come spur of the moment?
No, to be honest with you, my corner, Levi Sewell, told me in between the first and second round to take a couple breaths. And one thing that I think I do well is I listen to my corners. I adjust on the fly. So I composed myself, took a couple breaths, and Levi told me to think about what I had to do to win this fight. And I looked over at the other end of the cage, and I saw that that was not the same man that was standing across from me at the start of the first, and I knew that this time was now.
How does the championship belt feel around your waist right now?
To be honest with you, I mean, it's a great opportunity. I'm happy to have the win. I'm happy to have the success, but this success is due to the credit of my team. These guys got me ready. One thing that I'd like to take the moment to recognize, he's kind of been the unsung hero for this camp for me. My new teammate, Ricky Dexter, who made the switch over from Team Irish, he's been picking me up every single morning because I'm not a morning person and I have a hard time waking up after I work super late. Gets me to the gym early when I'm not necessarily in the best of moods. Gets me home, takes me to the grocery store, makes sure I'm eating everything right. He's really been my liaison for this fight camp and for this weight cut. And because of him, we were able to make the weight first try immediately. He's been a great friend and a great teammate.
Can you talk about the speech you made in talking about not just your teammates like Ricky, but also Chris Young, and then putting the belt around his waist as well? Because, I mean, I'm a tough guy, but I started tearing up a little bit. It was very heartfelt.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about it for a long time, and one thing that I've realized about Coach Young is, you know, he does so much for so many. He takes no credit ever, and one thing that was just starting to get on my nerves is, you know, being one of the guys on the team, seeing what he does day in and day out for everyone, for his wife, seeing what his wife does for everyone, and seeing how their family really fosters what we have going. It starts with them. If they didn't come to the gym every day with a smile on their face, chances are people wouldn't be in their spirits that they're in, that you see every time when you come to a fight night. So I just wanted to take my, I've never been given a moment to be able to say anything, so I just wanted to give credit to the two people that deserved it most, and that's Coach Young and my parents. And I just wanted to get the message across to the NEF fan base and really to Bangor, so that they understand what kind of man this guy is, because no one says it enough. No one will talk about it. He'll never talk about it. And I just wanted to shed some light on what he's done for me in my life.
Fred, you talked a little bit before we went live here about the weight cut and making sure that you got down to 135. How difficult was this cut, and is this something that you're going to continue to do, or do you think there's a chance maybe you'll go up to 145 in the future?
I'm actually on my way down to 125. If I turn pro ever, that's where I belong. I'm too small, unfortunately. I love being a bigger guy. Unfortunately, that's not what the genetics had in store for me. You guys have met my lovely mother. It's never going to happen. But the thing is that, you know, with Dexter, the tutelage of Ricky Dexter, and with his help, with his conditioning regimen, with his the food planning that he's been having me go through, everything has been very helpful. He's been nothing but a godsend, and I've really appreciated his friendship and camaraderie through this camp and for future camps to come.
How are you celebrating tonight this championship victory?
I'm gonna go eat a pizza. And I'm going to spend time at the official after party at the Sea Dog. Thank my man Bert Falero for everything he's done for Youngs and for NEF for the last couple weeks. And, you know, I got to go back to work tomorrow, man. We got to pay the bills.
The new bantamweight champion at the amateur ranks here in New England Fights, Fred Lear. Fred, always a pleasure. You're one of the greatest young men that we've had the pleasure of talking to, and we are very excited that you're able to have that belt around your waist. Congratulations once again, and we'll talk with you soon.
Thanks again, boys. It was great seeing you. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend.
Hey, this is Brian Stackpole here from the Main Event. Just letting you know once again to follow us on iTunes. Go hit the subscribe button and also leave a rating and review, because you know what that does? Not only does it help us provide you great content, but it also helps us finally tune this product that you love, or maybe you don't love it, but if you don't love it, why are you listening to it? But we appreciate it anyways. But if you leave a review, it helps us. We go and check them out all the time to make sure we're giving you the best possible content out there from the mixed martial arts world and boxing. Sometimes a pro wrestling interview or two is thrown in the mix as well. So go check it out. And again, that way, if you're on iTunes, if you got an iPhone, and who doesn't nowadays, or if you have an iPad, you just hit the subscribe button, and then, in case you don't know about an episode that we've released, maybe we have a surprise one for you. It's going to be downloaded right to you at that given moment, and you can take us with you anywhere in the world that you have internet access to. So go to iTunes, search in the Main Event, M-A-I-N-E, event, and get the best mixed martial arts talk around this area in the state of Maine and across the globe. And again, thank you for helping us help you here at the Main Event. And what great insight from all our guests. I want to thank everyone who joined us on this special post-fight show of NEF 30, like CJ Ewer. We also talked with Fred Lear, Walt Shea, going down the card, Angela Young. Great insight there as well from her. Aaron Lacy talking about the unfortunate issue of not having his fight, and even Bruce Boynton previewing the next fight for CES against Nate the Snake Andrews. Whew, that's going to be quite a brawl, and if you have not seen Bruce fight in a little while and you want to see him, well, you're going to get your opportunity if you have Access TV and can watch him on national television on Friday. So big shout out to all those guys and gals for joining us here on the show.
Yeah, it was an awful lot of fun. And again, thank you to Matt Peterson and Nick DeSalvo. It was great to be cage side and have an opportunity to watch all these fantastic fighters compete. And look forward to the next time.
And they'll be doing it again coming up in November. A little bit of a respite for everybody involved. So normally they would run a show in September, what with the August card. No need to do that. Take a little bit of time to enjoy the football season. And then Portland at the newly renovated Aura nightclub and concert venue. It's going to be an absolute blast. I've seen some photos of it. It's a multi-million dollar investment that they put in there to renovate everything. Sound system galore. It looks beautiful in there. And I think it's a great environment for mixed martial arts. So looking forward to that one. And we already know one of the fights that's going to be on there. It was actually scheduled for a couple of cards ago, I believe, but had some issues. What was it? The June card, I believe, was where it was going to be placed. But unfortunately, unable to get that one done initially. But James Blair, undefeated, 5-0. I think he trains, at American Top Team?
That's right.
Yeah. And Devin Powell knows him, got him the fight. He's from Hawaii. He is going to be coming up to Portland to face on Paul Gorman in a fight that was supposed to be scheduled at the bantamweight ranks originally a couple cards ago. So we didn't get to see it a few months back, but we'll finally get to see it come November, fingers crossed at least, and that should be one hell of a fight, and still many, many more fights with, I think, some of our friends that are going to be announced here in the next couple of weeks or so.
I can't wait. Again, it's always fun to be at the NEF events, and although you're saying football season's around the corner, and I love me some football, but I'll be looking forward to November 3rd getting here as well very, very soon.
August 26th coming right around the corner, though.
Oh, can't wait.
Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. Woo. It's going to be great. We'll also have a special preview show where we'll talk some boxing MMA insight. We'll have a special Conor Floyd show for you here on the main event. Brian, before I let you go, and before we let all our great listeners go, what do we have on tap coming up this weekend and beyond for the main event?
Well, we have quite a few shows that we're going to be pumping out, and not to get too far into the future, but we got a couple of Young's MMA fighters. We didn't get a chance to speak with Roger Ewer on his win, so we're going to have him on the show. And another guy who won a title in beating Rafael Vallado, we're going to have Pat Kelly on the show here very, very soon as well. Also, a couple of fighters, big-name fighters, Jordan Rinaldi of the UFC, who just picked up a win. We're going to have him back on the show here to discuss that and what his future holds. And also one of the Tuesday Night Contender Series fighters that got a UFC contract, Carl Roberson. We're going to have him on too, and many, many more. So make sure you stay tuned.
Love it. Always pumping out great interviews for you. Yes, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
And you.
And you.
And you.
Yeah. You're the best. Thank you for listening to this edition of the main event. We'll be back here shortly with a brand new one for you. And we'll do that in a couple short days. For Ryan Jarrell, I'm Brian Stackpole signing off. Until next time.
Peace.